Applaud Podcast, where we get to know different people's focused lifestyles and their winning disciplines. And now, your host, the one and only Peter Larson.
Thank you very much. Welcome to another episode of the Flawed Podcast. In this episode, we are going to talk about MoveNut, natural movement, with Bernd Reichenender. Something like that. Sorry, Bernd. He's based in Munich. Of course, natural movement. We talk about natural development sequence. What is the MoveNut tree? We talk breathing. Can you do CrossFit and MoveNut? What is the MoveNut tree? And so on. So some of you might wonder, hey Peter, why aren't you releasing an episode every week like some other podcasts? And to be honest, I don't have a good answer. And luckily, I don't make any money off this podcast, so it's like no urgency for me, and I will be doing this for a very long time. I committed to 20 years when I started. But I will change some other things. But some brief notes of what has been happening in my life during this pandemic. We're in the 2020 season, you could say. I have educated myself to a CrossFit Level 3 or CCFT coach. And also MoveNut Level 1 coach. That's how I met Bernd. What I can now offer, except what I also could offer before, is coaching. I built my home gym here outdoors as well. So if you're interested in CrossFit or MoveNut or breathing or FMS or running, pretty much everything in a nice formatted way with the focused lifestyle and winning disciplines under like as an arching system, then contact me at pl@flawed.se. Everything is linked in the show notes. What I also offer here in Gothenburg, Sweden, I'm a FitAid reseller. I also sell Puri. If you're a biohacker, as you might know here in Gothenburg, I am the founder of the Gothenburg Annual Biohacker Conference. Now this year we're doing it outdoors again. I also have some connection with the Upgrit family. So if you're into bulletproof, those kind of supplements, I can give you up to 15% discount. If you're interested more in CrossFit Level 3 or MoveNut, being coached online or here in real life, let me know. And share the podcast with everyone you meet. But also want to highlight, you know, during this pandemic, why should you go to a gym when you have everything you need outdoors? You can climb a tree, as we talked in other podcasts. You could move on the ground movements, flow movements. You could learn how to manage the cold. Now it's winter season. So many things. I hear all the time like, oh no, I can't go to the gym, so I'll stop training. Okay, that means only for me that you have little imagination. So that's what we're gonna help you with in this episode. You will also learn the basics for MoveNut. I put all the links that I could find. I'm sure I missed something, so just let me know if I missed anything. By the way, we're also now on Amazon. They released some new podcast app, so I think we're on all the apps, all the podcast apps. Enjoy the show with Bernd Reichenender, MoveNut.
Okay, let's begin. Just stretch a bit. Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Flawed Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about movement once again, natural movement. And as a guest, we have Bernd Reichenender. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. My name is correct, and thank you for inviting me.
Yes, very good. It's hard for me to pronounce your name, but all right. So tell the listeners, Bernd, who are you? What do you do?
Currently, I'm doing a lot of sitting at home because we are in quarantine. again the second time, and got a lot of time to prepare some new stuff coming up with my team of MoveNut München. Mm-hmm. Also a hard term maybe for you to spell. Munich, it's a Munich, German Munich, city in yes. Bavaria. And I forgot, I got a team of two guys, and we are doing retreats, and they finished one last weekend. And yeah, actually a lot of planning for 2021, the whole year through with my dear colleague, Jerome from Budapest, setting the dates for new MoveNut certifications.
Yes.
That's the most important.
Yes. So now you mentioned MoveNut a couple of times, and for the people, if we add this to YouTube, I'm just going to show my shirt that I got from you. Thank you very much. It's a great MoveNut shirt, environmentally friendly. But most of the listeners, or some of the listeners, are into training, but perhaps they never heard about MoveNut or natural movement. So tell us a bit about what is MoveNut and how you found it.
Okay, so let's see whether it works with how I found it. Because there's almost impossible to explain MoveNut very shortly.
We have time.
My story was... Huh?
We have time.
We have time. Good. So my story was that I studied sports science, actually, and I went into something like muscle function diagnostics. Yeah, there's some methods from Vladimir Yanda, I think this is the beginning, who found out that you can test muscles and you can compare them from side to side, and you can grade them into normal function or not normal function. And this was my start to getting out a bit of conventional fitness, just being a trainer in a fitness studio and advising people for methods to getting hypertrophy and muscle hypertrophy, or, you know, just this superficial muscle building. Mm. And in this case of getting educated in different methods of finding how your body is actually working, finding out what are your weaknesses. I got also into function movement screen or function mm-hmm. movement systems. I think mm-hmm. this is more known.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah, it's well established, and there's one of the founding guys, Greg Cook. He was invited by Yavan LeCor, the founder of MoveNut, to retreat in West Virginia. About 5 days, it was actually in the beginning of MoveNut becoming a brand. It was back in 2011, and I read an article about it, which was called "A Glimpse into a Better Future," which says a lot, actually. But 10 years later, we actually got a little steps into a better future by having a lot of movement methods, movement systems, movement possibilities. He was explaining that the function movement screen, I hope you are a little bit familiar with it. It's a very simple system of screening functions of your body and also patterns of your body. So let's say mobility, stability, and patterns on a very basic level, and find out whether there are inefficiencies. And it was actually developed out of high-performance sports. They tried to find out whether they can upgrade performance of athletes or make them less prone to injury. And this Mr. Gray Cook, as he came back from West Virginia retreat of MoveNut, he found out that all these basic tests they do, that's actually part of MoveNut. And he found out that it's not actually necessary for just high performance athletes to do something like this, but also for everybody, and maybe not sticking too much into corrective exercises, but actually start moving naturally again as a corrective exercise. And okay, I read this article. I immediately Googled on on the internet what it is, and there was a workshop scheduled 2 months later in Berlin, and I went there, and it was a fantastic experience. Also because I've got a history of 25 years of Shotokan karate. This was one of my only constants in my life, and it actually became a bit boring. Yeah, that means it's a limited system. You need partners, and you need to go to different lot of workshops and whatever to be inspired again. Mm. And I ran tired, and this MoveNet system came completely to the right times. So it was a cesura in my life. Not completely stopped the Shotokan karate and switched immediately into MoveNet. Yeah, because it got also similarities, and this is maybe we can get into it also, that MoveNet is actually integrated in everything. Yeah, whether it's your sitting chop, or it's Shotokan karate, or it's just Pilates, or it's a rehabilitation, or it's high performance, or whatever. Natural movement is your body, is your function, is your form, and this comes as a baseline of everything you use from your body. So I think that's a good bow too.
yes.
What MoveNet is?
Yes. So it sounds. I'm trying to pretend that I don't know what it is for the listener. For the listeners, so we can understand that it is broad, and it is integrated into life somehow. So tell us a bit more about perhaps the details. I mean, we have spoken a lot of times about it, but how is the foundation? What's the basis for MoveNet?
The basis for MoveNet is that it's actually a fitness system built out of every natural movements we evolved out of.
Mm.
Evolution means not just really the story of millions of years becoming a biped, upright human being, but also in a smaller picture, that means being born and growing up.
Mm.
It means we in the big story of human evolution, there are parts of our body which are not actually dependent on our bipedal or tree living ancestors. It's getting back to every structure which is in us. That means, let's start with the vertebra. The vertebra, the form and the function of the vertebra is in very primitive beings already there, and it works the same like it's working like a structure which needs stability and mobility at the same. And mm-hmm. this is encasing part of the brain, the cord of the brain. I don't know exactly how it is. In the channel in the vertebra, there is mm-hmm. the elongation of your brain, which is actually just working on movements, and not so much on thinking of movements, but more of autonomous working. Mm-hmm. And it's a very long story. I think this nobody can encompass this millions of years something evolved out of adaptation to the environment. And this is just one part,
mm-hmm.
much older than we think our human bodies. So our human body evolved in a specific form because of specific adaptations to environments. And MoveNet took these movements we use nowadays more in sports, but we normally used for survival
mm-hmm.
reasons, and put it in a system which is structured like a tree.
Mm, love that tree.
With roots, you can say the roots are the most basic parts of the function of a human being. It's also the most similar to our other species in nature. Like I said, everyone who has a vertebra, every creature who has four limbs, and all this, is behaving about the same. It's able to roll. It's able to move on the ground, getting up and a little bit faster by crawling, and maybe as you can see, that's the same as little children or babies are trying to get off the ground, just driven by instincts, without a teacher, until they stand on two legs, and then comes something which can be discerned as beyond functional patterns. Functional patterns are really the basic stuff, and then comes exploring nature on 2 feet or whatever is possible. It means playful experiences and exploration of the possibilities the human brain is able to. And this is in Movna tree, there would be a specific succession of skills, and this is after the ground transitions, there's lifting and carrying, there's throwing and catching, and there's climbing, jumping, vaulting, which are higher movements that comes actually out of real play or real survival. It's getting off or after a predator or aggressor.
Very good. Just to emphasize, I really like the tree for so many reasons. I think it's beautiful, it's simple, I think it's easy to understand. We will add that to the show notes, so you can have a go to the website and have a look. So just for a clarification, so MoveNet has something that called, I think we call it NDS, Natural Development Sequence, that all babies follow, or most humans when they are infants follow. Like you said, first is it roll side to side and then crawl a bit, and then we can sit on our knees, then we can squat, then we can stand up, etc. And FMS has also added this in a structure that if you skip one of those steps, you might have movement, perhaps not disorders, but movement asymmetries later on, which will lead to not being as efficient as you could be, right?
Right.
Something like this.
Yeah, the thing is that there was the suspicion on crawling, if children are skipping crawling, that they get actually something like brain damage out of it. This was the theories. But they came off this path because there's so much indigenous tribes which try to prevent children from crawling actually because of germs or whatever, not very safe floor. And they were carrying children until they really can stand on their feet. And they found out they had no developmental problems with it. So the magic of the human body is that he can compensate a lot. You can skip some patterns because they are repeated when you're older. I mean, the whole crawling stuff, which is initiating a contralateral communication between the upper and the lower body and vice versa, is coming back in different forms. In get-ups, they come back in walking and running and climbing. So your system has always the possibilities to get this information back. If everything works out naturally and fine, but problem today is that after you passed a certain age, you maybe are not more able to get back to fill up this holes or gaps. Because we as Gray Cook was saying, every 3 year old child is fitter than most of the grown ups.
Yeah.
Because they are not forced to sit, or they haven't sit for that long time in building up problems again. They're completely fresh out of the box. Every function is working properly. And if they would have the chance to develop normally in nature and not sitting all day, they would easily get rid of inefficiencies, asymmetries, dysfunctions, or whatever. So the problem is we've got a breach in the development, and this is why something like MoveNut is actually necessary, or we can be lucky that there is such a system which can rebuild this system.
All right. So Now the listeners hear that, okay, this sounds interesting. I never heard of it. Okay, MoveNet. So back to your story, Bernd. How when you went to this seminar in Berlin and you immediately really liked it. It makes sense, right? It's when you explain it as you did for me, Investor Oz, a couple, 2 months ago or something now, you explain it really nice with this natural development sequence or neurological development sequence. And the reaching, we reach for something when we're a kid, and we don't. If I want to perhaps, I think it's called pacifier. You know what the babies have in the mouth, they reach for it. Mm-hmm. They cannot grab it. Their brain think, how can I grab it? They have to move, and then they learn to crawl. Perhaps simplified. But back to your story, you went to this seminar, and then you didn't stop. You start to integrate it in your life, and now you are like a high level MoveNet teacher. What's the title? Is it the team instructor? Is it the master instructor?
There's a master instructor title. This is when you ran through all the certifications MoveNet offers. That's about five. This is everybody can do this. And the other thing is team instructor. That means I'm a certification coach or a certification team instructor. I do certifications, and we are two people in Europe, Jerome Rotoni from Budapest and me. And the highest hierarchy you can get is master instructor. Actually, this is when you're a very, very special, important person within the MoveNet team.
Very special.
This is not what I got this far. There's always good to
but
have
maybe in the future, right?
More. Maybe in the future. I'm working passively on it, not too actively.
Yes. All right. So we understand we have a system, and I learn it step by step. I really like that. When you taught me for the level one MoveNet, first we lay on the ground. And what I really like for this system is that it's calm. You know, we start with the breathing. We start with position. Then, you know, we move in sequence. It's very clear, very. And it's not like if I compare it for myself for CrossFit. CrossFit is perhaps when people think about CrossFit, at least, a competition. You have to do it as fast as possible. That means that if you're doing something wrong, you might be rewarded because you're the fastest. But in MoveNet, it's a bit opposite. I thought about it a lot last couple of weeks. Yeah. So I really like that. For instance, for rehab, prehab, and also, as you said, when I play with my kid, I try to be crawling, climbing, jumping, etc. But back to you, Bernd. MoveNet is move naturally, right? But then we have something called natural movement. And I think for the listeners, this is a bit confusing. Can you explain from your perspective what the difference is and if there is a difference?
Okay. Yeah, you have to actually tell from your perspective, because there's no clear definition. It's just what our master Ervan is telling us what the difference is. But maybe the title of the new book from Ervan is making it obvious that there's the practice of natural movement is there. That what we should aim for. It means you should be not able, but taking as part of your daily life to move naturally. And like we used to do for 10,000, 100,000, millions of years. And MoveNet is the method for it to relearn the competency, the physical competency for doing it in a safe and efficient way. That's the difference. That's the same like you have to learn writing and reading. All the stuff to bring your words to paper just for practical reasons to write a letter and giving someone information. And natural movement would be a poet or someone who is doing it as a job. He's not learning it anymore. He's completely applying it. He got a lot of skills and a lot of possibilities to write little poems, to write longer stories, fictional, whatever. It's a pure application of something you had to work on to get on a professional level. So natural movement would be actually encompassing everything we've lost, because movement is actually just movement. And there's so much more we lost on their way, on our way into this civilization or in this culture. And this is almost inevitable. It's any little cell of your body is longing back for nature, not just by moving, but also by being breathed or getting nutrition for whatever. That's an endless thing, but there's just about three major parts you're able to influence directly, and one is movement. Another one would be breathing, as you have in your own experience on your own podcast, Patrick McKeown on Oxygen Advantage.
Yes.
Or we have Wim Hof with a different aspect of breathing, and cold exposure, thermogenesis is also something we are shying away. Yeah, we always want to have it warm, and not everybody knows, but warmth is much more unhealthy than being cold, or let's say too much warmth, or not exchanging it with cold is not very good. Yeah. So, and one the last thing is actually nutrition, and nutrition should be the most important. Without nutrition, nothing is running in your body.
Mm.
But nutrition is a very special topic.
Yeah, I heard this quote that I want to share with you the other day from, I think it was Epicurus or ancient guy. He said that the better you eat, the less you have to exercise and spend time on, I think it was writing or philosophy. So, and I agree with that. If I eat, super clean, super healthy, I don't really have to train or exercise as much to be healthy, because that is the foundation. It's the fuel, right? Okay, so movement, breathing, and nutrition is the three parts that we can influence on a daily basis to control our lives. But I thought about it now. Some people would say to move natural. I am a natural person. Don't I always move natural? Isn't the body always natural? Do I really need a system for it?
Yeah, that's a big topic, actually. And there's so much possibilities to describe it. And there's a very easy one. There's after eating something, actually, you start dancing. Yeah, that means normally in our far ancestral past, as hunter and gatherers, there was something like, or in ancient Greece, there was always a party, let's say, or a feast after there was something physical before. It means there was a hunt to getting something to eat, or there was a victory, or there was some completion of a sanctuary. That means they had a physical task, and then after this there was leisure time. And the physical task before it had always something to do with natural movement, and this is using your body for a practical task. This could be a real survival situation. That means running from a predator, or hunting a predator, getting something to eat, or protecting yourself by building something, whatever. The door of your hole in the ground, or your little shack, or some fence around your little tribe's place.
Sure.
Or you have to work on whatever craftsman's ship to keep your weapons in shape, or whatever. There are things which are necessary for survival, or necessary for feeding you, or keeping your tribe going. And there is this time when you have to do nothing. One example is, I think it's from Daniel Lieberman, is a very Harvard evolutionary biologist. And they found out that about hunter and gatherers worked about 15 hours per week. And then the other time they spent relaxing. They spent preparing food. They cared for their tools and whatever, and maybe made some play. Yeah, there was play or whatever. There was dancing ceremonies around the fire, and this 15 hours of movement. Of work actually is natural movement, and the rest is craftsmanship, is unnecessary movement for survival. Mm. And MoveNut is covering everything which has to do with moving through nature in an efficient way.
Yes, you also said something that I particularly like about this system, and you said that this is practical, and maybe you can tell the listeners how Hervan Le Cor found the system from what was his name, Herbert,
and
I cannot pronounce that name. I will not even try, it's French. Yes. And then they have or you have or we have be fit to be useful or train to help others. I really like that. Can you take us a bit short history about MoveNut and then how we can apply it practically?
Yeah. Just one addition to the last question is that maybe people ask, we don't need movement for survival anymore.
Yeah,
we don't need all this stuff, actually. We need to be fit for sitting. We need to be fit for sitting, and we need to be fit for sitting, actually, it looks like. It's the only
that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the fingers, so we can type.
Maybe the fingers. And there's actually also workers around, but it's, all craftsmen, people get a bad spine or whatever at midlife about. The thing is that we've got inherited this body, and we can't just switch it off within 50 years. It means we have to go on to nourish this body in its function, and this is actually our fitness training. Yeah, not doing some fancy stuff just for superficial looks, but actually keeping up our function. So this is why people maybe see why should I jump or why should I run in minimal shoes? This is actually not necessary. I don't need to jump, and I can have super expensive cushioned high-tech shoes which feel much nicer.
But let
okay, but
me just,
maybe we come back to this.
Yes. So no, I want to stay on it. It's so what. If I am that person, I only sit, I only eat junk food, I only work with my computer, then I watch the TV. What am I, why is that wrong? What will happen?
There will happen a lot of, let's say, first simply asymmetries. Mm-hmm. Our body is formed for sitting on the ground, lying on the ground, or moving on 2 feet. Mm-hmm. That's walking or running. And we did this all through hundreds, thousands of millions of years. And since about 50 years, we are almost lost everything. Our body is not needed to do anything of this because of our very safe environment. And this is called, there is a theory called the mismatch theory. You can Google it. It's out of evolutionary biology, and it says when the environment of an animal or a human is changing rapidly, you got problems with your health actually.
Mm.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff which is built up is not more necessary. That means a lot of genes which are in your body are switched off. Actually, they don't work anymore.
Exactly.
And other genes, which are not that dominant, are switched on. And this unnatural relationship of gives you problems, and this gives you problems on all levels. Yeah, from using your eyes, as we both have glasses on our noses. It's actually we are already artificial beings. Yeah, because back then in the days, if you would have weak eyes or something, you may be not able to survive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we use actually technique to keep us alive, and this is a lot of stuff like treating the toes, the teeth, or getting every technical stuff on that is trying to make our evolutionary mismatch problem again back into a private state. Mm.
I know all of the listeners know this already, so I just wanted to ask you to make it very clear that if we don't move, we will get problems. Why? Because we are built to move. Mm. And it's a great TED talk that I keep coming back to, that I will link to it in the show notes, that our brain developed because we need to move. It's a complex environment. We moved before our brain evolved, but it evolved and becomes so smart because we move so complex. I'm sure you have seen it. Daniel Volpert is his name, by the way. Mm-hmm. But Bernd, back to the evolution of MoveNet. Can you just share how the founder, Ervan, found it and then developed it a bit?
Yeah. Okay. So make the story not too long. Start with Ervan. Ervan was risen in Paris, in the midst of Paris actually, and he tried a lot of stuff like also karate like I did, but he encountered a guy who was a very strange stuntman in Paris. His name was Jacques Hibari or something like this. And he made a system which was called Combat Vital, fight for survival. And they made a lot of crazy stuff, like climbing the scaffolding of Notre Dame, or swimming the River Seine in the midst of winter and darkness, and getting into the channel system, and really dangerous stuff. And at the same time, there was this Yamakasi group forming in the outlines of Paris, the founders of Parkour, and they got a good connection to the Paris firefighters and had a good publicity actually to get very famous. And Ervan in the midst of the city was a little bit it was a much smaller group, and they did not have big connections to get more into public. So Ervan was approaching that guys of Yamakasi and was asking, hey, could we do something together? We were almost doing the same stuff, but they declined. They were really busy on with the publicity. And he decided, and I don't know when he was getting into this méthode naturelle, the predecessor of MoveNet from, as you said, this Jacques Hébert. This was a Frenchman back 120 years as a naval officer, but he took his work and he went to Brazil and tried to apply all the stuff which they already dipped into in an urban environment into a natural environment back. And with this work of Jacques Hébert was a big work. He was having about 4 or 5 big volumes with a lot of drawings in it, what the human body can do actually and is able to do to be useful.
Yeah,
useful
exactly.
Is a specific term. It comes out of a time where humans were used as able soldiers to fight for the nation. So it was a very military prone approach, and this is actually the predecessor of Jacques Hébert's system back to antiquity, to the Greeks, and it was always a military approach to use your body like this. Now, military is survival, actually. And Ervan took his experiences out of his young days, and the knowledge out of these books, and tried to renew it actually, because it was helpful is something different he coined, because it's really helping people out of your free will, being a self-empowered human. And or empower yourself to be able to help yourself or help people, and not like Shoshibert was using it, like be useful, that this the state or someone else can use you for his purposes.
Yeah, words are important. I agree. Okay.
Yeah, he made it more modern. He made it out of this past of which was very martial, actually, into the days nowadays where we more have to fight against the deterioration of our health, and not being a casualty of war or something like this. So that's about the story. And in 2009, he coined MoveNet as a brand, and since then it's spreading the world over. It's got a little bit hard time of being known. Yeah, because we are growing a very little team and very organically, and there's other systems which are actually faster into the mainstream.
Yeah,
and this is due to they mostly took just one aspect, which is like crawling stuff. You know, all these animal methods.
Yeah,
they are much easier to integrate into existing methods, because you can use it just as a warm up. Or you can use it for specific reasons. And MoveNet is that fast that it's, for most people, not comprehensive where it's coming from, what the function it is, and where it has to, where it can be gone, where you can integrate it into your life.
Yeah, we will try to change that with this podcast. And also, I know here in Gotham, where I am, we have a facility, MoveNet facility in Västkusten, MoveNet Västkusten, I think the guys are called. For the listeners, just a brief information from my, there are 10 domains as well in MoveNet. There's also this, you know, locomotive, we have combative, and what's the third one?
Critics. And manipulative, actually.
Manipulative, yes, correct. But
aquatics is also moving in water.
Okay, is that not under locomotive or?
No.
Okay.
No, we've got actually normal MoveNet movement assets that's locomotive manipulative. That this is what we are depicting in the MoveNet tree, and there are two specialities, and this is combatives and aquatics.
All right, very good. And I mean, I will try to share as much as I can for the listeners to get the overview of this. But can we discuss why foundations of movement and breathing and balance is, for me at least, foundational in this system. And I really like that, because we talked about breathing a lot on the podcast. We talked about balance a lot on the podcast. Why is it important from your perspective?
Breathing is like eating. Breathing is getting some fuel into your body, so it actually can start to work with energy. And balance, why did you take balance? Because it's got such a good picture in modern life with unbalanced people getting to meditation stuff. Now, if this, then you're right. Okay. Because this is one of the major advantages of MoveNet, is that you can integrate something like meditation, which brings you a mental balance into your fitness regime. And that means you don't have to reserve special time sitting somewhere and just concentrating on the breath. When you can also get into a movement, which needs a lot of focus. Balancing is something which needs a lot of focus. So you can also call it like a self-limiting exercise. Yes, it's really easy if you can stay on top of this little surface of support, and you fall off, then you did something wrong. And mostly the wrong was you were not focused enough. And not focused enough means you were not control over your thoughts. You were not meditating correctly.
Exactly.
And one thing is also that balancing, if it gets higher, provokes fears or uncertainty in your own skills or whatever. And breathing is something which is can calm down stressful situations. And this is again what we do with meditation. Yeah. Mm. If your mind is speeding with thoughts, you try to sit down and breathe and getting calm again. And when you integrate it into a movement, the big advantage is that your body is much more receptive for it. If you isolate stuff, it's always a bit difficult for your body to find out the meaning of it for himself. Because there were millions of years of no meditation. Meditation is something we need nowadays because of the unbelievable amount of sensory input we got all day. Mm. Yeah, and things missing which are calming us down is just looking at green stuff, looking at the green wall instead of a gray wall is big difference in how your body is or your brain is working. Yeah, green is calming you down, and gray is actually doing nothing or making you aggressive. Yeah, so if you take the example of balancing on a tree trunk in nature, you've got automatically the meditation stuff and the breathing stuff within. This maybe gives the bow to how can you apply or can you practice MoveNet? Just by doing some stuff out in nature, but this is not actually MoveNet anymore. This is more natural movement if you take it.
So we practice. So let's say that, okay, people, the listener is now curious. All right. So to start practicing the MoveNet method, it's perhaps smart to start inside, indoors, with a trainer in a facility, crawling, very safe. Then I read the article just one week ago or something that about MoveNet level three, switch to Swedish there. There was a balancing act on, I think it was 3 meters or 2.5 meters up. You have to balance and then do a reverse and go back. And just as you said, it's easy for a normal person, I think, to balance on a beam, on the ground. But then for me, I'm really scared of heights. So I haven't tried it yet. I will sometime in the future, I think, 2-3 meters up to balance. But the mental shift is completely different. And I think, as you said, to be able to do it, I must concentrate. I must be relaxed, but not too relaxed, right? I must be tense, but not too tense. I must handle all this. The whole system works there. And then, as you said, when I feel comfortable, I can go out in the forest, in nature, to get calmed down and also to be practical and play around. That's more like a living or being, I don't know, more natural.
Correct.
I don't know if it was a question there, but I read somewhere as well that now nature is becoming more like a religion for us that are living, in a modern society. With Corona, everything is moving so fast. Will I get fired? Everything. Then we can go out in nature and it's the same. The tree is still there. It's calm. The birds are there, have you heard about this? That it's a bit becoming a new religion for modern people.
For me, it's a religion. Yeah? Like the earth is my temple, and nature is my religion. Yeah, this is an old saying of someone. Yeah, and I think that's the time has come to see it like this, because it's close to extinction actually, mm-hmm. and it's a good time to wake up and see it as holy as a religion. A polytheismus, a natural polytheismus, would be really far back in our history before monotheism and Christianity came. We already had this close relationship, and this would be good for everything.
Yes, I totally agree, and I really like this. And I don't think if you're a CrossFitter like I am as well, you don't have to say MoveNet is bad. It's not super hard. You can use both systems. I will share a warm up that I did from MAPS MoveNet Adaptive Sessions. I think it's called. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yesterday I trained in a CrossFit box. I did the MoveNet, you know, warm up. Then I did some CrossFit stuff. You can do both. And maybe if the weather is good, I will go out, maybe climb a tree today. It's you know, they work together. You can do it. But I wanted to ask you a bit about why, what people in your experience have most problem with when they come to you and you explain this and you have a class, is it, you know, get ups, crawling? What do you think people have most problem with?
Yeah, it's obvious actually. It's climbing.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get a pull up. Yeah.
Okay.
So if I got a certification and there are people who are not very into fitness, actually, yeah, just wanting to start but don't want to start in a conventional fitness studio, but got the idea of MoveNet and moving naturally, and I bring them through the course of the days. At the end, if there's a certification and there's trying to hang on a bar and bringing the feet also to the bar, the bar like this.
Yes, sir.
This is the test. If you're not prepared, you cannot do. Actually, and this is very interesting in two perspectives. So one is that actually everything else which is coming up the MoveNet tree is possible, because it has not so much to do with actual strength. Yeah, and for a pull-up, you need some arm or shoulder strength. That's all skills, and the skills are already in you. Yeah, if you don't would have these skills, you would look completely different. Maybe you have one limb less, or whatever, two heads, or that means your physics, like we are prepared or able to doing all this sitting on the ground, standing up, crawling, jumping. Lifting stuff doesn't need to be heavy, because skillfulness always beats intensity.
Yes,
and all this. And on the other side, climbing is very interesting, because we are very close related to what we call apes now, because of our ancestry, and the anatomy of our shoulder is actually the same like specialists in climbing, like apes or primates. And there is a study a few years ago, they denied or they observed apes which are not more able to climb because they were in a zoo. They had no possibilities of climbing there, maybe in the earlier stages of zoos. And they found out they all developed arthrosis in their shoulder joint, which was an evidence of they were not able to use the shoulder joint. So the shoulder joint was abolished by your body, actually. If you don't use something in your body which needs actually energy,
yes,
and it will be torn down by your system. Yeah, the energy is saved. Yeah, it's not used. There is no matter for sending energy
exactly.
there.
Yeah,
out of you know it if you get a cast or whatever in former times, casting a joint for some weeks, you know, out of the joint becomes a bone. It's getting calcified or whatever. It's right on the track of using or lose it, use it or lose it. And I think this climbing, our shoulder anatomy, is one of the most heavy aspects of mismatch theory. Yeah, people don't climb anything. They actually
sit. Keep our heads over
something like this. Now they maybe make new color on the ceiling if they move or whatever, renovate their flats. It's maybe one of the, or they lift something up onto a higher shelf. That's everything what they do. But hanging on it and working really on the function of the shoulder is completely deteriorated.
I completely agree. And from my perspective, you know, giving out CrossFit classes, or in some cases, I also have mobility classes, you know, we do what we call overhead position. And a lot of adults have problem with overhead position, you know, just straight arms. And the reason is exactly what you said. We never do it. And sometimes in you know, Olympic lifting, we keep the arms, but in a day-to-day basis, as we did when we were living in the jungle, we you know, climbed all the time, we stretched out, we picked things up. And for me, from my perspective, you don't need yoga, you don't need mobility if you move all the time in this position.
Correct.
But exactly as you said, when we sit down, the body says, why should I have this mobility, flexibility, and stability if you don't use it? It costs energy. Then the body will stop. Yeah. So that's what I really like. If you're living the MoveNat and move natural in that system, you don't need to do yoga, right? You don't need to do mobility. You will have all the flexibility you need. After a while,
you can use it as an option. That means if you lack mobility because you haven't done anything within the last 40 years,
exactly. you try to
use a system like a shortcut.
Yes,
actually, that's simple. I'm also in an age where I feel when I run too much, actually I get tight in the ankles and in the hips.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
It's difficult nowadays to keep that balance. Yeah, in an unconscious way, you can't keep balance because your environment is out of balance and you are trapped in it. So you need to know yourself. You need to know your weaknesses, and then you have to feed the improvement of it by picking this and that, just for practical reasons. So I don't do yoga. I have done yoga, but it makes no sense. Why should you use a system for mobility if there is just some parts of your body who need some mobility? Yep. You waste a lot of time. You could do the same in 5 minutes every day and not need to go to a class three times a week. There are more important stuff to do, taking care on your shoulder, which is not part of yoga classes, actually, hanging around.
Exactly. I mean, nothing bad with yoga. I see. I understand that it's more than just stretching. It's mental as well. So fine. But Bernd, so I know that you offer classes in your area, MoveNat Munich. Can you take us? Is it every week, every day, or how does it work? And is it how do I sign up if I live in that area?
It's closed.
Okay.
It's Corona closed.
All right. But let's pretend that it's not Corona.
Yeah. No, we actually don't have that much outdoor classes. We don't have a gym in Munich. We are completely outdoors the whole year through since 8 years now.
Excellent.
The groups are not very big because the concurrence in Munich is really big. There's so much boot camps and whatever outside. But we just work on a word of mouth. And we are more exploring into other possibilities of offering movement. And our most important product now are retreats. We've doing longer retreats and more expensive ones, like on Mallorca or something. And there are very, very short ones, like the last one in Berlin. It was just 2 days. And we always mix it. We've got a specific set now of a mixture that's Wim Hof and MoveNat, actually. They work perfectly because they are so easily integrated into nature. Having a little lake and some woods and you are busy for 2 days enjoying this natural immersion. And we also offer neuro meditation stuff. on our retreats, we had got this principles or the integration of Katie Bowman stuff, or actually with a Katie Bowman instructor. So our concentration is actually on retreats, and we're going a lot of online. So what we switched from real outdoor classes onto weekly online classes, live sessions. We're using this. These are I'm leading one which is completely on the ground, just ground movements.
Oh, nice.
I'm actually building a system out of it, like animal flow, but it's more like a human flow. Then, and we've got a classical movement sessions done by my colleague on Thursdays. And the next plan is that we are going live with an academy, and also offer something like retreat online retreats. That means that we have a weekend, and in this weekend there are more different classes. You've got a meditation class or breathing class in the morning. There will be a movement class after it. Then there will be a cold immersion where you have to fill up your bathing tube with cold water, or get somewhere and get some nice. Real Wim Hof instruction. And this is something we are working now to get adapting to the environment. Yeah.
Of course. Not, we have to adapt.
If you can't adapt to the environment, you're not able to survive. That's actually what we're doing. And that means adapting the system to the science of the time.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. Please send me the links when you have this online. I can share if there's a German listeners or people in the area or want to. I guess you can try this anywhere if it's completely online. We can just have that link on the website. I've been thinking about this myself to offer, retreats, maybe, hiking for 1 or 2, 3 days, and offer, movement sessions, breathing session, cold, and also goal setting, with offering some kind of life transformation similar. But I'm not there yet. But I do offer breathing sessions. And since you told me or taught me the level one, I offered what I call evolutionary fitness, which is pretty much the MoveNet method here in my backyard, because there's a forest here. So it's outdoors as well. So anyone listening and living in Gothenburg area, just let me know and we'll do some MoveNet session here in Gothenburg. Yes.
Spreading the word and spreading the practice.
Yes. So I have the level one. There's also a level two that you teach, if we're going back to MoveNet. Do you also teach the MoveNet level three?
Yeah, we are three teachers actually. There's Danny Clark, the curriculum manager of MoveNet. He's taking the lead, and Jerome and me are assisting him.
All right.
Because there are mostly about 20 people signed in for this, because it's just once a year, once a year in the US, once a year in Europe, and once a year in Australia. Mm-hmm. And everything was cancelled this year. Yeah, so completely cancelled, and we're taking it up next year if Corona is under different control.
Yeah. All right. I will,
there will
see,
also be this aquatics and combatives.
Tell us more about that, because I remember when you taught me the MoveNet level one, that you said to me that aquatics was one of the hardest things that you've done perhaps in your life, right?
Right. I've done it 4 times, but we are really where I really had to do it the other times I assisted, and the real test that was at the end rescuing someone out of the water was actually life-threatening by myself. And I think nobody is surprised by this if you hear that people are drowning while trying to rescue some people out of the water. Mm-hmm. It's really one of the toughest jobs. Yeah? It's the water is an element which is just different. And the energy you need to work against water, which is about 800 times more dense than air. That means it's a completely different medium. Everybody knows who is swimming, yeah. But if you actually have to work out in water, then highest respect to everybody who is working as a water rescuing person, like a lifeguard. It's unbelievable. And what to say? You're just trying to move efficiently in water. Actually, there are swimming techniques, which are good for rescuing yourself. When you actually have fallen out of your boat or your boat sinks, and if you're not just in the North Polar region, where your survival expectancy is about 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. More in the Caribbean or something, maybe you can survive 1 or 2 days by just floating on your back, or whatever, or building some airbag out of your clothes, which can carry you. And the same is again with breathing. Breathing plays a big role in swimming, in diving or swimming underwater, and diving down has a lot to do with anxiety. Actually, the same like balancing on height.
Yes.
These are the same like combatives. Yeah? If you have to encounter someone, just a few words to the combatives workshop is a very effective way to protect yourself or protect different people. It has nothing to do with learning fancy techniques. It's all built about instincts. It's very close to Krav Maga, actually, this self-defense system from Israel. Because there is no need to smile at someone who is attacking you, or having fancy techniques against assaults with weapons or whatever.
Yeah, I would like to take that. We talked to Tommy Bloom, one of the best Krav Maga instructors in the world. He lives here in Gothenburg, been on the podcast. We talked to a lot of swimmers, but we haven't really talked about the practical diving down. And I would like to learn that myself, because I am really too scared when I dive underwater. I can hold my breath, for a long time on the ground, but the same second I dive underwater, I have a trigger in my brain. It's completely different. I totally agree with you.
It's about the same like heights, right?
Yes, for heights for me it's the same. Yes.
Yeah. So the theory goes: if you find out we are unconsciously full of anxiety, and more people. My guess is just it's about the mismatch theory. Your body is missing some safety, the connection to nature actually, which gives us unsafety, and we try to find safety, but there is always changing stuff in nature. Stuff changes not that fast. And this unsafety, and also this not more exposing yourself to swimming in open sea or diving or balancing on height takes so much self-confidence of ourselves that we are this anxiety is really right before our face. And I'm sure if you build up your skills to slowly access these anxieties like balancing on heights or diving, it will also solve a lot of anxieties you don't know about. You don't know how to handle them. It's all about trying to make it progressive and easy for your system to digest the stuff, and applying it as often as possible. If you're never on a height standing right before an abyss of 5,000 meters, it's sure that you got a problem. It's just out of your comfort zone. And if you expose yourself slowly more and more to this perspective, then you get adapted. That's normal, but we're completely disadapted.
Yeah, I agree. Stuff. I agree. For me, for instance, it's darkness, sleeping outside in the forest. I think you should respect all of these things that we say. But for me, one thing is that I sometimes once a year, twice a year, I take a hike myself and I take my tent and I sleep outside in nature by myself. It's very good for me, for my anxiety, to push this limit. And it's the same climbing and so on. So I completely agree.
If people are used to sleep somewhere where it's there's light and there's some noise, and then you get completely disturbed when it's completely dark and there's no noise anymore, and you don't have to go out in the wilds for this. You just can arrange your room for this, when you can open the door whenever you get anxiety, and this is the same like movement is doing. You try to do natural movement. Just on the ground in front of your TV, if you like any belly bumps, thumps movements you're used to, but you just do natural movement, and then you slowly bring it out to nature. You don't have to balance on 3 meters height, actually.
Exactly.
It's just the brain get disturbed by the fear of getting injured, but the physiological advantages you get also if you just walk on a line. You can trick your brain. You don't have to. You can just pretend on a limited surface, but you don't have to expose your really with it.
Exactly.
And if you like, you can really get into dangerous stuff. Yeah, but then with more confidence and with more skill, and with more safety.
Yes, I completely agree. So start with controlling everything, and then push a limit a bit, but don't push it too much, too fast.
Yes.
Perfect. So, Bernd, looking into the future, now we're in Corona times, lockdown at the moment, end of the year, it's Christmas, winter coming up. What does next year look like for you? What exciting things do you have going on that you haven't mentioned?
Yeah, teaching and coaching a lot of stuff. Yeah, we are planning the MoveNaut certifications the year over. We are starting to plan the MoveNaut Munich events all over. Just more expensive stuff or also it's just more exotic getting to Mallorca. But we also have a very minimal cost. Because we want just to have tents or something and not a big thinker. We know that people have to keep the money together, and it's the same. We also try to make more local and short duration stuff, like just 2-3 days, offering online to get an idea of it and making the obstacle lower to book some 2 or 3 days outdoors somewhere, and yes, we're working on something like an academy. Educating people on all aspects of cold exposure, breathing, natural movement. The aim for MoveNaut Munich is to offering medication actually out of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with big principles which are getting your body back into maybe giving him the possibility to arrange itself. We don't want to work on this symptom level or in detail level. We just want to give you big chunks of natural behavior or methods, and starting something like your body is preparing itself on big topics like thermogenesis or low oxygen or hyperventilation or just ground movements or more skillful movements like doing a power up on a bar. Exactly. For every level and for every need. That's 2021, actually.
I like it being giving you call it medication, but I like, you know, to be proactive, to try to learn things, be prepared for things before they happen. Like if you've never been into the cold water, and then all of a sudden you go out on a lake in the winter and you fall in, then you will not be prepared. But if you voluntarily prepared, you know, slowly, and it's the same with movement, actually. Bernd, what URLs, what websites can we tell the listeners if they want to check this out right now?
Yeah, it's easy. That's movenut.com, actually. Hmm? And there's movenut München mit muenchen.de.
Excellent.
That's actually...
Is it okay? Because I got a video from you, a YouTube video. It was really cool, showing me the retreats. Can I share that on sure. the website?
Yeah. Excellent.
You're very welcome to share everything you find shareable, worth sharing.
Perfect. Do you have? I have a couple of more questions. Do you have any tips of books? I know you read a lot for the listeners.
Yeah, I try to read, find out the most important stuff to read, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the moment, I'm reading Todd Hargrove, All This Movement and Play, Playful Stuff, Exploring Movement out of the Playfulness.
What was the book called?
It's, I can show it, actually, if you like. One is a guide to better movement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not so much.
I haven't read it.
I
have not read it.
Yeah, it's a nice perspective because there's a lot of how to approach movement. The thing is that he's not so much into movement. At the end, there's a lot of Pilates and yoga postures. Mm-hmm. Postures actually, but his approach to explore movement. More out of a playful approach and not out of someone saying do this and you just do it. The differentiation between work and play is hard to discern for normal people, but most people see their fitness as working out.
Ah, exactly.
Yeah. And this is a trick to your brain. It should yeah. not be work. You work yeah. too much anyhow.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm doing this. Oxygen Advantage was a big revelation. I think yourself, everybody who has read it said, "Oh God, if I knew about mm. the function of my nose." yes. And this is also a nice picture to movement because you don't need to have a lot of stuff you have to acquire or whatever. It's also not. So much time you need to save for specific things. You can everything which has is natural integrate in your all day life. You just have to give thoughts to it. You know? Reminding yourself every 10 minutes, where do I breathe? My mouth or my nose? And then I do my nose.
Yeah,
it's just you just have knowledge about it or consciousness about it. Yeah, there's so much systems out there which actually work the same way. Like we talked about learning to swim, the freestyle technique. There's something for more beginners or advanced, like the total immersion approach. And there is someone you recommended this. What was it called?
Swim smooth.
Swim smooth.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all about skills. That's the thing. Yeah? You do some drills and working on skills, and at the end, you do it without really working out. Yeah? That's the thing. It's growing in you, mm. and not like a recipe. You have to work down and hoping there's an outcome for it. Yeah? With all this growing, progressive, skillful working, there's always an outcome.
Mm.
And okay, there's the practice of natural movement from Erwan, surely the Bible of natural movement.
Mm-hmm.
And momentarily, I look a lot into child development.
Oh.
Actually, because I'm working on this ground movement stuff. As you see my back, maybe.
Yes, we can see
a rough picture of it.
but I don't see the details, but sure.
Yeah, wait. This is what just want to make it a little bit of curious about it.
Yes, I can share a book. I'm not sure if you read it, but it's related to what we talked about. It's called Natural Born Heroes by Christopher McDougall. Yes, have you read it?
Yes.
It's not as nice as Born to Run book, as I assume many people has read, but he has a nice story around natural movement and Erwan Lecor and movenut. So I encourage people that are more into a story to find a story behind without all the detail, the technical details.
Right.
I recommend that one. I just want to highlight one thing from the CrossFit world that is they fit hand in hand. So in CrossFit, they say mechanics first. First, you learn the mechanics to do everything correct. Then you do it consistently. You do correct every time. Once you have done that, for instance, in a squat or a get up, then only then can you add intensity. And this is actually the exact same as we do in MoveNut. So I really like how these systems, if you do them correctly, not as you see on TV or on YouTube, that the professionals do, but if you do it as the theory said. Is it anything else that you want to talk about, you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, sure. But we should do a yes, second episode.
We can do it every month or something. I think we have so much to talk about every time.
Yeah. So okay, just wait for the next podcast with Flawed.
Yes.
Because there's so much to get into detail about the neurodevelopment sequence. Maybe we just talked about the natural development sequence and how MoveNut works in a real progressive way, how it's easy to integrate it into every fitness thing you do already, how to integrate it in your all-day life with your family, or when you go hiking or whatever, making your own adventure travels just by getting into that's a little river. And this was just the rough picture today.
Yes, for me as a parent, you know, to have MoveNut in as a tool in my bag when we play with my kid, or when we are out walking, or as a warm up, or you know, whatever, I really recommend to at least undertake the level one, or if you cannot do it at these times, read a bit on the internet. I will share videos.
And there's also a lot of e-courses actually out.
Yes.
Now we've got about three e-courses of fundamental skills, which is a little bit of a preparation for level one, but it's also equals about a 2-day workshop we did once. Upon a time, maybe coming back someday.
I hope so.
There is a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of material, like you said, the maps you're doing, which come out weekly. There's a lot of preparation, and if you're then interested, there's an endless way to travel the road. Until level three or whatever.
Yeah. So people living in west of Sweden or in Gothenburg, just contact me. We can do sessions together here any time of the year. But my last question is K-Wink, knowing what I now know. I try to ask it every episode. So it's like if you have a time machine burnt, what would you do differently last 10 years perhaps that you with all that you know today? Would you change anything? Maybe 20 years.
I think not exactly a lot, because it again gets you into an unsafety. I think what you got. If you start anew, then you're getting maybe in something different. Could be worse, could be better. But the safety of having what you have is not bad if it went. All right. I think I'm healthy. Mm-hmm. I have no health problems, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yes.
And I just can recommend everybody to work on your own health. Actually, cancel a bit of the slave work you're doing, wrecking your health just by earning money. Without your health, money makes no sense. Actually.
I agree.
And I'm not a rich person in material stuff. I'm just rich in health.
And movement.
And if you're healthy, you can adapt all the time. If your business is crashing down, there's so much people who say, oh, I don't give a shit about it. I just build up a new one. Yeah. And if you're physical and mentally healthy, then it's always possible. And if you're always running on the edge, it's not so easy to react.
I agree. But I have a question, because I know this, because we talked a lot. Would you, if you had the chance, to take your archaeology education again, would you do that? Because you're an archaeologist, right?
I also studied archaeology.
Yes, I know this.
Yeah, right, maybe.
Would you do that again?
Yeah, I would. This is one really emotional thing I would take up. You're right. Maybe if you got me the chance, then I will say yes.
Oh, you would do it again? It was good?
I would do it, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If it also depends a little bit on the income then. Yeah.
Yes.
If it would be the same income then now, and then adding my coaching and certification stuff on top of it, then I would be the richest guy on earth, actually.
Okay. I know that you're just sharing with the audience because you have two educations, one in the health industry and then you have the archaeology. I think it's a very unique.
It's very unique. I'm the world only sports archaeologist, actually.
All right. Thank you very much, Bernd, for being on the Flawed Podcast. It was an honor.
Thank you very much, too. It was also an honor for me. Great work you're doing.
Thank you very much for this awesome episode number... What was it? 65. Thank you, Bernd, for sharing your time, for also teaching me and the other participants in the MoveNut Level 1 and Level 2 course earlier this year. I also want to give a shout out to MoveNut Västkusten, aka CrossFit Västkusten, available here in the west coast of Sweden, obviously. Also, shout out to Erik Rådbo, who makes the Flawed theme. Check him out. There's links on the website to his other, what do we call it? Creations, a musical genius, if you ask me. So as I said in the beginning as well, during this pandemic, during the 2020 season, I educated myself in CrossFit Level 3, MoveNut Level 1, some other educations as well, obviously. I love to learn. What does this mean for you? Well, what I did also after the MoveNut course is that I established something that I call evolutionary fitness. So I do quite a lot of things, and one is to help out other people move better, move well. So with the inspiration of MoveNut and ground movements and other things that we talked about on the podcast, and of course CrossFit, which is a huge part of my life, I created Evolutionary Fitness, which is pretty much fitness outdoors, and I have my own outdoors gym, so that's great if we're going to do some lifting, some CrossFit stuff, but also I have slack lines and that kettlebells, pretty much all equipment you need to get fit. So we also have a park here where we can run, throw things. So if you're interested, let me know. I offer weekly classes with the start of I offered it before, now I'm going to offer it again after the New Year's. And any weather, we will adapt. Also, as I mentioned before, I sell things. Well, not for you, but mainly for me. So I love FitAid. I am a reseller. Love Puri. I am a reseller. I used to be an ambassador in the past, so I have that as well. Great prices. So just let me know. And as you might know, I'm not sure how good I am at promoting things, but I created the Biohackers annual Gothenburg conference. Gothenburg's Biohacker conference, it's called. Where biohackers meet, you know, how can we improve things? Biohackers and CrossFitters share, you know, the thing that if you're not doing it, you have a preconceived notion what it is. So, like, biohackers are these crazy guys with lasers in their ears. No, it's not that. It's just constant improvement. How can we do this better? Can we take supplements? Should we? Is it legal? You know, etc. So, coaching, FMS, running, workshops, cold exposure, breathing. If you follow the podcast, you know that we talk to pretty much, not all of course, but a lot of experts in the field. And I love to educate and learn. So we're offering, or I'm offering, all these things, Corona safe, from your home or here with me. So just let me know. And as I said, you know, I already have quite a lot of things. So I'm not doing this podcast to make money. Of course, that would be great. I'm not coaching to make money. And one of the reasons why I'm not doing it for free is that I've done that in the past, offered coaching for free. What happens then is, you know, a psychological thing that if you get something for free, you're not valuing it. So right now I'm doing the opposite. It's quite expensive for a normal person. And what I mean by that is it will sting if you're not committed. And I do that with my lifestyle coaching as well, you know. Sometimes I offer it for free if it's a great person on the other side. But, you know, it's one of those things that I also learned. If I buy something that's really cheap, usually I'm not valuing it. Long rant. Check out everything on floor.se/podcast. And for this awesome episode with Bernd, click on episode 65. And lastly, I should also mention that I do have a newsletter. And the frequency of that is, you know, like this podcast. It's not frequent at the moment. If you want, or if you have thoughts, suggestions of people or topics that we should cover or write about, let me know. pl@flawed.se. Stay safe, stay humble, and always remember, luck fortunes the brave.